Now, tonight, I'll just go ahead and jump right on into the message. And again, thank you for listening this evening, for watching this broadcast that we're able to provide for you. The parking lot is still in somewhat of a mess, and then the ramp and so forth. So it's necessary tonight to just stream live, and I think it was a good judgment call. Now, tonight, I want to read a passage from the Word of God in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And I want to speak tonight on a subject that I know that all of God's people can certainly relate to. And it's namely this, God's sufficient grace. God's sufficient grace. I want to read now, beginning at verse number 1 in chapter number 12 in 2 Corinthians. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth such an one called up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was called up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that he might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Let's just bow again for prayer, and then I'll jump right on into the scriptures. Father, thank you tonight for the wonderful song reminding us of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for that song tonight, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to be able to stream live. And I would just pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll see fit to use the message to encourage and help folks along the way. Do pray for Sister Darla tonight that you would sustain her, comfort her, grant healing and encouragement to her, and bless the pastor and Father, Brother Marshall, and Lord, the family. Now bless us now as we look at the Word of God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The subject tonight is God's sufficient grace. I'm speaking tonight on a subject that I believe that all of God's people can relate to. If there's any subject that is certainly relevant to God's people, it's the matter of God's sufficient grace. Now, all of you have found this to be true. I'm not speaking to a single Christian this evening, but what cannot say God's grace has been good? God's grace has been sufficient. So this is the experience of every saint, the experience of all of God's people, and grace we all know to be simply this, God's unmerited favor. You know, grace is God giving us that which we do not deserve. Mercy, on the other hand, is God withholding what we do deserve. Now, verse 9 is perhaps one of the most quoted, but yet one of the misunderstood portions of all of God's Word. It says this, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, you know, you talk to people who know the Lord, and they will tell you time and time again, if it wasn't for God's grace, I wouldn't have made it through what I went through. You know, you hear that all the time. In fact, I can say that this evening, if it was not for God's grace, I don't know what I would have done. The Lord has been so good. So this evening, I want us to think about God's sufficient grace. Now, I must admit, I'm having a little bit of flashbacks this evening from the days of COVID, when we were doing services in this building, and it is kind of hard for me to readjust to looking at empty seats, but just bear with me, folks. I appreciate your prayers even as I try to bring the message this evening. We have to go through these adjustments of life, don't we? Well, anyway, here's what I want us to do tonight. As we think of God's sufficient grace, I want us to try to imagine how the Apostle Paul was thinking, what was on his heart, what was on his mind. Now, in fact, this context here, this passage of Scripture, this book was written by Paul the Apostle. Now, when we think of him, here's what I would like to do tonight as we deal with God's sufficient grace. First of all, this evening, let me just mention this thought. The pain that he suffered. The pain that he suffered. We know that the writer of this epistle suffered in many, many ways. We know that he was persecuted. We know that he had trials constantly. We know that he was constantly having to suffer for the cause of Christ. But yet he was willing to do that because of his dedication and love for the Lord. So the pain that he suffered. Now, as I break down this passage tonight, and of course I do like to throw in teaching along with my preaching anyway, so I want to kind of dig in here just a little bit this evening. So I want us to notice something, the pain that he suffered. Paul suffered tremendously. He had a problem called a thorn in the flesh, as we see here in this passage of Scripture. A thorn in the flesh. Now, there's been different opinions on the part of different people concerning what the thorn of the flesh was. People have different ideas about that. Some think that maybe it's talking about the fact that he was buffeted by the devil. And, of course, that's mentioned here in this context. Some think that maybe he had eye problems because the book of Galatians, he makes mention of the fact such large of a letter that he wrote. So there are those who think that he had eye trouble. He just could not see very well. There are those that think that that suggests maybe epilepsy or bodily pain or sufferings caused by people. So when Paul talks about the thorn in the flesh, it could have been several things. So I would just throw that out this evening. He uses words such as infirmities. He talks about the word, he uses the word buffet, the word thorn. And so basically, Paul had been beaten down. I want to ask this question tonight to all of you that are watching this broadcast. Have you ever felt beaten down? Have you ever had a host of things to come against you all at one time to the point to where you just felt like you were beaten down? You just couldn't handle anything else. You know, it's good to quote Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 and thank God for that verse. All things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It's good to know that verse and to quote that verse, but could I suggest tonight that the all things may include the infirmities, the buffeting, and the thorns as well? When we think of all things, let's understand tonight that all things would include the bitter, sweet, the good, the bad, the things that cause discomfort, as well as all of the other things. So, I think it's good to keep that in mind. When many times in our lives, when things hit, when things come against us, when problems arise, it's always good for us to remember that nothing can touch our life that is not part of God's plan, and he has signed off on it. I think it's good that we know that. God has signed off on everything that happens in the lives of God's people. He certainly knows what's going on, and God has a way of using those things for his glory anyway. Now, notice the person who is suffering the pain. I want to show you something, folks, tonight. Notice who is suffering. Look what it says there in verse number 2 of chapter number 12. He said this. He said, I know a man in Christ. Let me stop there. He said, I know a man, I know a person in Christ. You know who that man was? It was him. But here, but more important than that, notice in Christ. We need to be reminded that being in Christ does not exempt us from pain. It does not mean that we will have no problems. Being in Christ, that's a blessed status, but it is not an exempted status from pain. The people, down through the years, I'll say this, some of the people that I have known that suffered the most in terms of this life have been godly people. You see it time and time again. So here we see the apostle is talking about himself. Now I want to point out something else that I think is important. Notice verse number 7. Notice the place of his pain. Now the person of his pain is Paul. Number 2, notice the place of his pain. Verse number 7. He said, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn," note this, "in the flesh." In the flesh. Which would lead me to say tonight that often the thorns and the buffeting we endure in this life will manifest themselves in the physical realm through sickness or other forms of physical suffering. Because he said in the flesh. You know, it's hard sometimes to swallow the pill, but you and I, before we're anything else, we're in the flesh. We're human. We suffer physically. We have bodily pain. So it's important to see that. He said, "I suffer in the flesh." I think it's important to look at this because sometimes some people who know the Lord seem to be a little bit surprised that they're suffering. But understand, he said, in the flesh, in this body, we can expect to suffer. So let me move on here tonight. So here's what we see in this passage. The pain he suffered. Paul had a thorn. Paul was buffeted. Paul had those forms of suffering. The pain he suffered. Number 2, notice this. Notice the prayer he prayed. The prayer he prayed. He asked God 3 times for relief. He prayed 3 times that the Lord would deliver that or take that thorn away from him, but yet the problem endured. He still kept his thorn. It endured in spite of the fact that he prayed 3 times. We learn this about praying, do we not? We learn that praying is always to be in God's will. It's to be done in God's will, but yet, nevertheless, we always can ask deliverance. We can, the Bible says, in all things by prayer and supplication. So we're free to pray for deliverance, but we understand that prayer is still to be guided by the fact of God's will being done. We must pray, but also trust God to handle the request His way. And I'll be honest with you tonight. I have a hard time doing that many times. You know, when I pray, when I'm hurting, when I'm suffering, when I'm praying, the first thing I want is to get relief, don't you? We want to get relief from that pain, but at the same time, we as God's people have to learn to trust God's will being done. We see prayers answered time and time again. I can stand here tonight and tell you that I know for sure that God answers prayer. I've experienced the Lord's answering prayer many, many times, and so have you. So have you. But yet we also learn this. God answers in His own time and in His own way. In His own time and in His own way. Many times we cannot find the answers here. It will only be in eternity that we will know all the reasons why some things come to pass. You know, we can take comfort in the fact it's not meant for us to know all things, to understand all that goes on. Why the godly suffer, why people hurt, in all those things. But I believe that we will understand it better by and by. When we get to heaven, I believe the Lord will make it known to us why we suffered the way we did upon planet Earth. So we can take comfort in that. It always pays us to consult the past whenever we're tempted to question God's sufficient grace. We can ask ourselves this question. Was His grace sufficient to save us? We would say yes, wouldn't we? Has His grace been sufficient during the past times of our difficulties? We would have to say yes, wouldn't we? The past proves what God has done. He's been so good. He's been by our side. Maybe the answer to the prayer, and here's a point that I'd like to suggest. I don't believe that all the time God answers directly all of our prayers. I think sometimes if He answered our prayers the way we want, we may be tempted to become a little proud. We may not be willing to give God the glory. Sometimes it could fan the flames of pride. So now, go back to this passage here. The answer that Paul got was perhaps not the answer that he immediately wanted. He prayed three times and asked God to take away his infirmity, to take away the thorn. But the answer that he got was this. The Lord didn't remove the thorn, but God did promise him ample grace to deal with it. Ample grace to deal with it. The Lord didn't take it away, but God said, and I want you to make note of this point. God as much as said, I'll give you something better. Do you know sometimes God gives us better things and we don't immediately realize it? God said, basically, I'll not take away the thorn, Paul, but I'll give you grace to bear it. And when it's all said and done, you'll recognize what I'm doing perhaps more so in that way than any other way. You know, afflictions, when compensated by a sense of God's sufficient grace, can serve a better good than when we have no afflictions without the sense of God's sufficient grace. Did you hear what I said? Afflictions, when compensated by God's sufficient grace, will serve a better good than if we have no afflictions and do not have a sense of God's sufficient grace. So I'm telling you, it means everything to have God's sufficient grace. Amen to that. Of course, I realize these pews can't say amen. Maybe you can say amen. But anyway, here's the point. God is answering prayer all along, but in a different way. Now let me hurry. Of course, this is pretty good this evening. I guess I can just preach on the midnight tonight, right? I don't have a bunch of people waiting to get out of this building in a hurry. Well now, okay, here's what I want us to notice. We see the pain that he suffered. We get that, don't we? Number two, notice the prayer that he prayed, which we've looked at. But now thirdly, notice the promise he received. I've already touched on it, but I'll go ahead and emphasize it again. God promised Paul sufficient grace to deal with his pain. He promised sufficient grace. I've used this illustration many times in preaching here at this church, and many of you that are listening right now have heard this. But it's such a good illustration. If I could, I want to use it again because I think it expresses a point here real well. Here's what I'm building on. God promised Paul sufficient grace to deal with his pain. Now here's what I want you to listen to. Found in the pockets of a Confederate soldier many years ago was found these words, and here they are. I asked for strength that I might achieve. He made me weak that I might obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given grace that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I received nothing that I ask for, but all that I hope for. My prayers were answered. I was most richly blessed. I want you to think about that for just a moment right now. I believe that Paul, in spite of his pain, in spite of his affliction, I believe if he were here today, if he was talking to us, he would say, I of all men have been most richly blessed. He didn't get what he asked for, but what God gave him was actually much better. So now, here's what we've noticed. The pain that he suffered, the prayer that he prayed, the promise that he received, and number four, notice the peace that he enjoyed. The peace that he enjoyed. He found sufficient grace and he took pleasure in his sufferings, basically. That's what the passage bears out. He took pleasure in his sufferings. He had the peace of God in the matter. He had the peace of God. If there's one thing you can read here in this text, you can see that Paul had God's peace regardless of how he was suffering. And let me tell you something. The peace of God goes a long ways. It's amazing, but here's what we see here. He is better off with his problems than absent from them because he was compensated with something better. Now, did you hear what I just said? He found that he was better off with his problems than absent from his problems because he was compensated with something better. He actually was given something better. Have you ever heard the expression, we gain by losing? Have you ever heard that? Well, you know, that comes from a Chinese philosophical concept, and actually what it does, it suggests that by releasing, by losing, or giving up certain things, that we make space to acquire more valuable things. So now, Paul, you see, he gave up his own personal attempts to find relief from his thorns. He gave up on it. He basically got to the place in his life where he said, thy will be done. I will live with these thorns. I will live with these circumstances because I know that that through it all, you have greater plans for me, Lord. So he gained in finding God's adequate grace. Now let me ask a fair question tonight. If you had all that this world had to offer, if you had all the money that was possible for a human being to have, if you had perfect health, if you went to the doctor and the doctor said, well, you don't even need to see me for 10 more years, you're so healthy, or whatever the case might be, but if you had all of those physical, earthly blessings, and yet your heart was nagging, was hurting, was broken, you had no peace in your soul, you had no joy in the Lord, you had an uncertainty about where you would spend eternity and all the things that go along with being a lost person, would you really have a whole lot? The answer would be no. Now, Paul winds up with the peace of God, and by the way, that's the greatest thing. You know, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. God's sufficient grace shows up in the spatial strength. Note something here. Look at verse 9 again, please. Notice how it reads. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Then catch this point. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, God gives his strength to bear up under the thorns. His strength. Now, how do we break this down? Well, here's what I see here. God's strength is magnified when we're weak, for he gets the full glory. He gets the full glory. In other words, if I don't have any strength myself, and I'm able to do anything, then guess who I'm going to be glorifying and honoring? It would have to be the Lord, because I don't have any strength myself to offer. So I have to give the credit to the Lord. In other words, a strong and prideful person hinders God's work being seen in us. But if I have to learn to walk by faith and trust the Lord and lay it at His feet, then, you see, I'm more apt to glorify the Lord, and people can look at me, and they're not going to be tempted to be proud of what I have to offer, but they're going to be in turn driven to look to the Lord, you see. So that's the point that he's making. The grace imparted may be more valuable than the answer to the prayer. You know that? The grace that God imparts may be more valuable than the answer to our prayer. God has something better in store for us with unanswered prayer. Look at Paul's testimony, verse number 9. His testimony proves it. He said that the power of Christ may rest upon me. By the way, that ought to be all of our desire this evening. All of us that know the Lord. If we cannot thank Him for healing grace, we can thank Him for revealing grace. If He doesn't heal us, but if He reveals Himself to us and blesses us with His presence, then my goodness, that counts for a lot too, doesn't it? God's strength is more completely manifested when His people are weak. Those who feel they're strong are less likely to realize their need of divine assistance. Note Paul's response in verse number 9. Basically, if you look at verse 9, where he says, I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He's basically saying, I count it a privilege to be afflicted. I count it a privilege to be afflicted. I think this church is aware of the fact that my favorite gospel songwriter is Fanny Crosby. I've told her story many times. It blesses my heart when I think of how God's hand was upon Fanny Crosby. And here's what we learn when we look at her background. She lived to be 90 years old. She penned somewhere around 8,000 gospel hymns. She was blinded at the age of 5. And the reason she was blinded, in fact, I heard a preacher, I think it was even mentioned here in this pulpit, the brother that preaches, he filled the pulpit here recently from Not Shining Light, Kerwin. I think that preacher may have used this illustration. I was able to watch him. But anyway, Fanny Crosby was blinded at the age of 5 because of a bad prescription given by her doctor. She lived to 90. She penned 8,000 gospel hymns. And one time, a preacher said to Fanny Crosby, he said this to her. He said, I think it's a great pity that the Master, when He showered so many gifts upon you, did not give you sight. Here's her response. Yes, I know many of you have probably already can remember this, but here's what she said. She said, do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition to my Creator, that it would be that I should be born blind? Surprisingly, the preacher said, well, how can that be, Mrs. Crosby? Here was her answer. Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior. I suppose one of my favorite songs would be the one that she wrote entitled, My Savior, First of All. And I love the words of this song. Here's how they read. When my life work is ended, and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand. Oh, the dear ones in glory, how they beckon me to come, in our parting at the river I recall. To the sweet vales of Eden, they will sing my welcome home, but I long to meet my Savior first of all. Well, Fanny Crosby, like Paul, would have said, I take pleasure in my infirmities, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. Well, tonight in closing, and again, thank you for listening. Tonight in closing, we don't understand why we suffer, why we have those thorns in the flesh, why we have those infirmities, why we are buffeted by the devil and sometimes by other sources. There's much that we don't understand, but there's one thing I hope we all understand tonight as I end this service is the fact of this. God is good. His grace is sufficient. And what He gives us in return will always be better than what we ask for. And I want you to chew on that tonight as I close. What God gives us in return will always be better than what we ask for. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, tonight for this opportunity to have part in doing this service. And again, I do pray for the pastor's family. You will bless them. But now, Father, bless now and use this message for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.